Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. We are talking all things forgiveness, please. Those players who we hyped up in the preseason but failed to deliver, but we think they can rebound back for 2021. And to help us do that is Stevie Fizz. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day lads and g'day to the listeners out there. A terrible week for myself having to leave Western Victoria, but feeling for the people in Melbourne who can't leave their goddamn street at the minute, Jono.
Yes, it is. It is quite bad, and the weather's getting better. So I just set up my banana lounge in the backyard, Homer Simpson style, and just start sinking tinnies. Now it's great. And all the way off a fresh semi-final win with his cat is Cam McLaughlin. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome, mates. I am quite hungover today, stretching into, geez, where are we at now, 6.30 my time. And all it means is I've got another week at the Gabba this week versus the Lions, and then hopefully another week at the Gabba after that for the granny.
One can only hope. One can only hope. And we do have a special guest this week, all the way from Tasmania. No, it is not the Statesman. It is actually the IT guru who helps you diagnose any problems you have with your app or web browser. It is the main man from the traders. It's Warnie. Welcome to you, mate.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, just taking a break from all the app development and all the nerd side of things. That I can't even get myself to sound all right on a podcast. But anyway, here we go. How are you, lads?
Yeah, doing well. You know, we go all year round, so we're getting right into it. So what are your thoughts on the 2020 season? It's been a pretty interesting ride, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been a crazy season, really. At the end of the day, if any of us thought that this was going to happen or signed up for this, we probably would have said no. But anyway, we got through it. It was pretty crazy on, well, for us and you guys, on content creators' side of things as well, just going, what the hell is this? We games every day. We were recording podcasts at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night 1 week and then 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning and random things all the way through that. But we kept it going, and I think that was the good thing about fantasy full stop, not just sort of the content side of things, that the games kept playing and everyone did it in their own ways, and I'm pretty proud of the work that the team behind AFL Fantasy did to get through the season and at the end of the day make it an engaging and fun game, and everyone, it was nice and accessible to everyone, and so we got through it, and there's no asterisk on the season because it was a season got done. And anyway, it's nice to have a break from it because I was getting pretty cooked, especially with the those daily team announcements and stuff like that. That was where it nearly had me done. But anyway, we got to the end and now we can enjoy some finals footy.
Yeah, those daily team announcements caught me out a couple of times and just, it was just basically mindfuck. It's like, who's in, who's out, what's my team looking like? It was just crazy. So hopefully they don't do that for the 2021 season and just...
I'm worried that it's going to be the case. I'm going to go and knock on Gil McLaughlin's office at his Queensland hub and go and say, actually, Cam, you're the one that could go and do that. Yeah. Can I just make sure it does not happen because it will absolutely...
I'll call it quits if that's the case. Yeah. All right, we're going to get into our forgiveness, please. And also, we have an ISO draft. Steve, I think, put up a tweet early in the week bagging out the mashed potato, and it caused all sorts of havoc. So we're just going to be drafting some potato type. What do you describe it? Potato? How to cook a potato, basically?
Types of potato dishes?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
We don't want to get too far away from the potato itself.
The potato has to be the dish.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is not a potato plus dish.
No,
this is not a shepherd's pie. It's not a shepherd's pie.
This is the only reason I'm here, lads. I'm so pumped about it.
All right, let's burn through the main content. Forgiveness, please. Those players who shit the bed, basically, in 2020 and are looking for our forgiveness. Steve, why don't you kick us off with your first player?
Yeah, so I'm going to kick it off with Timmy Taranto. Obviously, came into the season with a fair bit of hype, had the cracking year in 2019. Had the ADP of 51, so he was pretty high, but I think people were sort of cautious about him heading into the season. And his average dropped pretty significantly. the Supercoach went down from 102 to 84, and the Dream Team went down 112 to an adjusted 93. So 20 points basically in each format. Hey, Baby Fizz, we got another guest. You going to say anything?
Warrior Princess is such so fun. I've got a new superhero Barbie.
Hey, new
there
Barbie.
There you go. New superhero Barbie. It's hard to follow that. Yeah, Tim Tirano. So obviously he had the shoulder injury in there somewhere. Not sure when it was the draft or preseason or whatever. But the internal competition certainly went up with Callum Ward back and all the midfielders played most of the season. He still had some pretty big games. And look, he's a very good forward of the ball. That's where he plays. So there's always the risk that he's going to play forward. I forgive him. I think GWS are going to have some talent leaving. We obviously try not to speculate too much. We try to deal more in facts on this show. So if there's some big ball users like Zach Williams or maybe it shifts a Perryman back into defense, things like that, there can be some more possessions for Tim Tirano. The thing I like about him is he can score inside or outside very well. He can score when he goes forward. So there are some concerns. I'm pretty prepared to forgive him. I don't think they're going to go away from him being one of the main stars who can play inside and out. Like his 2019 was just so good. He's number two pick for a reason. They're invested in him. I can't see him going away. So I'm absolutely still backing in Taranto next year.
Yeah, and Taranto is that bull of that midfield that got that grunt guy that a lot of teams really need. Like Kelly and Cornelio, they're the polished inside-outsiders, but he's really the ball extractor.
Well, I think they've got a couple of those guys. That's the worry. Like Hopper's very good at it. Ward's good at it. De Boer's had the tagging role. So I know there's a lot of question, and Tom Green coming through. So yeah, there's some question marks about that. But it's like just because those guys, like Tom Green might be the new hotness. Like Tim Tirano's still a young player. Like I think sometimes we forget that the incumbent needs to be pushed out. So I think they've got a lot of questions to ask themselves after this season. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of team GWS present next year.
Well, you're right.
No, after you, Warnie.
Yeah, well, how successful they were in 2019, and his numbers that back that up as well. Like he was a first round pick for some coaches because of that 115 or whatever it was that sat next to his name. And the forgiveness is there. He may not get to those sorts of numbers, but there's no reason they can't because I think he's got that spot. He's had an injury affected year, and the time that it took for him to get back, like even that you know, the break, the lockdown break helped him, he still wasn't back straight away from that. So I think that there was obviously those question marks over his body because he did it in the preseason, I think it was, wasn't it, that shoulder? And so it would have been quite interesting to have followed that from within the club, to have really known how he was tracking with those sorts of things, with that injury, because shoulders have been a shocker. And that's something that we have noticed, I think, as fantasy coaches across the time. And this might be that sort of 12 months or whatever it is for him to be back to be right next year.
And so that's it. So it's really important. The year that the shoulder injury happens or like the next season that you're playing is generally quite poor. Season after that, you're kind of back to normal from a scoring perspective. So that could be it for Taranto next year.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is 93 is not all that bad, is it? It's not like you're unrosterable there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it must have been the preseason because I drafted him at like round 21 in our home league.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was definitely after our draft. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good point, John. Well, he sat on my bench as I lost games all year, so there must have been a reason.
All right, Wardy, run us through your first player for forgiveness, please.
Well, I went with a guy that I put on my never again list, basically because of my off-brand fantasy classic side, so the old salary cap buy of Patrick Cripps. Now, he did drop off a fair way, really. His average this year was 75, and he played every game, which I think that's almost surprised me as well with how banged up his body was at times throughout the year. But that 75, that's adjusted to a 93.8 BCV. Now, that's his lowest average since his second season. So where he's gone, like he's from his third season, then that's a 99 average, a 98, a 109. 109 and a 101. So that's what he's been doing. That's all fantasy, AFL fantasy numbers, not looking at that bloody Supercoach game. Although, if you do want to see the drop-off from that, he averaged 117 in 2019, and then that's dropped down to a 91. So a massive difference there, because obviously he's the first round type pick in Supercoach for a lot of coaches there, just because A, the name, and what he's had next to his name as well, like a 119, 117 the 2 years prior to this one, and then that 91 again. That's his worst actually since his second season. So in his second year, he averaged 96. So that just shows what sort of a super coach gun he is. So he's going to be value just for on average, as people are looking that. But I guess the biggest reasons why he's there, he's had an injury-affected season, is why I am going to forgive him, because I did put him on the Never Again list, and I think that'll stay with bloody Fantasy Classic. But in draft, certainly won't be too put out by what his season was. So some of the scores next to his name. So he had a 49 against North Melbourne. Pollock went to him, and then he went and got the Anderson tag in that one. And so he was copping that. But that was the game, if you remember it, he was, and that's where all the media talk came out about how he cops it off the ball and all those sorts of things. It was interesting. He gave away 5 free kicks in that game. The next week, he received 7 free kicks, 4. And then he scored 97 from that one. So going from a 49 up to a 97, basically still playing the same way that he had, just getting the love from the umpires. But that wasn't his only poor score. He had a 49 against the Bulldogs, and that's when he copped a shoulder knock. He got deboard for a 60, and then that last game that he played, his shoulder, it was cooked, and he only scored 30 in that. So all of those poor scores just bring his average down, and that's why it's so different from what he's done in the past. So when you're drafting, and a lot of coaches obviously do this, and most do, is look at the last year's average, and they'll adjust it slightly, but it still sits in your mind of how low that was compared to the other ones. So you're never going to draft him at next to the number that he did in 2019 or 2018 or whatever you're looking at. So I think that's where it is, and especially when his in fantasy, his best number there was a 109. So his BCV adjustment is, you know, well over 15 points lower than that. So it's a massive change, and I think that's where you can get your forgiveness. You could get him... second is probably a little too early because of his body, but he's going in for shoulder... He's had a shoulder reconstruction. He's probably already had that by now, I'd say. And so he's going to be tracking to train at the start of the preseason, all the news that I've read, but may not have the contact stuff until February. But for someone like him, I think that he's going to be fine. He's not going to need that contact training until February, which is always a thing for us. So I'm going to give him, my forgiveness, and definitely a draft man. I'm probably still burnt too badly in Classic, so I will look at him as a second rounder, I reckon, again, when he probably has been a first rounder in the past with coaches.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Also the fact that Carlton's big body midfielders emerging. We saw Will Satterfield pick up this year. There's talk of Zach Williams coming potentially to play in the midfield. Sam Walsh is a gun. Ed Curnow's in there as well, so they are getting a big core there of midfielders to actually help him out, so he doesn't have to literally shoulder the responsibility.
Ayo.
I think that's the worry, is the team gets better with guys like Cripps. Like, he was so good and just such a one-man team. Like, if the team around him improves, I don't know, it relieves the pressure and he's not going to be a worse player, but maybe that he doesn't get back to...
I liken it to a Clayton Oliver type, where the team is still good around him and he can lift with them. I say it that way, but...
They want the ball in his hands as well. That's the thing. Like, that's something. As good as the side gets around him, he is still their gun that they, well, A, want to look after, but B, they want him with the ball.
Yeah. Cam, run us through your first player, please.
Yeah, so pretty brutal season for the Giants. And as a result, their key forward had a really shit year too. Like... really shit. And to put it in perspective, just how shit his year was, if you filter by name, he was the 4th best Cameron in the league. Coming in behind Guthrie, Charlie and Rayner, only marginally edging out Zerha. So Jeremy Cameron, of course, we're talking about, had an absolutely abysmal year. Drafted with an ADP of 66. Most of us ranked him, I was checking out our ranks before on the site, in our top 12 forwards for the year. To put it in perspective a little bit more, the 12th best averaging forward in AFL fantasy for the year was Jai Simpkin with an average of 70.9. Jeremy Cameron averaged 51.3. So not great. The reasons he demands forgiveness, though, is probably two big ones. This was his worst season on record in AFL fantasy. The worst. Doesn't get worse than this. Even in debut year, better than this. Fourth worst in Supercoach. His three seasons prior to this year, his average, like a rolling average of those 3 years, was 84.53 AFL fantasy and 87.66 in Supercoach. If this is a blip by GWS, he'll definitely have a significant upswing next year, unless, and this is my second point, if he goes to a new club. So there's probably enough rumours going around that where there's smoke, there's fire, they need to cut some money out of the GWS line team. And if he ends up somewhere like the Cats, as they're speculating, in a two-prong attack with Tom Hawkins, he'll have the luxury of taking the second best defender every week. Better team, increased volume of inside 50s, big scores available for Jeremy Cameron. And that's why I pretty much give him forgiveness. I really think there's a big upswing either way. I think if GWS have a better year, which they should, and I think if he goes to a new club, which if it's the Cats, then he should have more volume. Jono?
What if he goes to Essendon?
I still think it'll be an upswing, which is crazy to me. Because
it can't be a fucking downswing from where he is. That's
yeah, it doesn't go lower than
it is Essendon. So they got the worst medical team. If he gets a little hammy, he's gone for the year.
Dude, Kyle Langford averaged 68.
It's not bad for a potato.
So close to being nice. I had Jeremy Cameron across the fucking board this year, so I know all about it. I am having a hard time buying into key forwards in general, to be honest.
Yeah. Key forwards in the shorter format. Shorter format, key forwards, no good. So it depends. I think the key thing to look for will be, first of all, if he goes to a new club. Secondly, what they make the game time next year. If the game time stays 16, throw it in the bin. If the game time goes, 20, probably.
Are they talking 18, though?
Yeah, but that's Tom Brown. That's what it sounds like from Tom Brown. Like, I don't think we've got a reputable source that said 18 yet.
Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly. Potentially.
Morning, would you buy a Tom Brown t-shirt that said potentially and just full stop? Okay, good. Yep.
Even better.
You really got to get that shirt done up.
All right, my first player, it's a GWS hat trick. It's Toby, I'm a fucking gun, Green. In 2020, he dropped off 11 points off his average from 2019, where he averaged 83 this year, 94 in 2019, and a massive 33 in AFL fantasy, dropping from 98 to 65. Now, why did all this happen? Well, first, he did suffer a pretty bad hamstring, but before that, he was actually scoring pretty well. He was sort of high half forward, midfield role, basically doing whatever the hell he liked. And then, after he came back from that injury, the GWS were just shit, basically. They didn't know how all the midfielders were playing. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. So, and Toby didn't really have a defined role. But going into next year, as we've said, Zach Williams out the door. There's going to be opportunity. Callum Ward's getting old. They might be running some of the younger guys there. There could be a spot for him in that midfield, I think, next year. We saw it in that 2019 year when he did play midfield. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Do they kick De Boer out? I don't know. Is it rotating with Cornelio forward and Toby Green? It's, as Steve said, it's got to be a big shuffle-up, and he could be a major winner. But even if he doesn't get a midfield spot, we have seen him score as a perma forward. He doesn't need the 30 possession games. He can get it done with 10 or 12 possessions and two or three goals plus his tackles. So, Toby, you've got my forgiveness, mate. I am a big fan of you. The only concern is we all had him ranked in that round one forward as a top forward. I think he's going to slide down to second. The injuries he's just getting is the soft tissues. I don't like them. and I want to see another full season out of him before you get full forgiveness. There's 98% forgiveness there from you, Toby Green.
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit of a believer of Toby Green. Again, off-brand classic. I picked him up towards the end of the season, which has nearly been a reason why I probably wouldn't forgive him, because I was just hoping that even as that forward, he just couldn't score. And I know they shat the bed. Like, the Giants were shocking. And we saw that even from their big guns too. Like, they just weren't even the normal blokes that rack up some pill. He wasn't there. And so even the fact that they were so bad, they still played him as a forward. He got bugger all midfield clock. Even when he did have increased CBAs there, they weren't even great numbers for him, which was a surprise too, because that's where we saw in 2019 those huge numbers came from. Like, whatever that figure was off the back half of that year where they had everyone out, and that's the thing. Like, we're going to see that from the Giants. I think you bloke said on the last podcast about the Giants is always going to be the opportunity there for that midfield stuff, because there's always blokes injured. So it's going to be there. But I can't give him complete forgiveness for that. And the only thing that probably holds him a little bit for me is the fact that the forwards are going to be pretty light on. As we say this every year at this time of the year, with all the midfield forwards all losing their forward status. Which is going to put him up there towards the top end as well for even just as his forward role, should still have him at least a, you know, well, where are you? Probably the 5 to 15 sort of mark. I know that's a big range, but you're going to have him in that sort of area because of just what his basic potential is, without, you know, reaching too high to say, yeah, he's going to average 90 again or whatever, anything like that. But yeah, it's a really tough one. I think of the Giants, we're going to just need so much more data to really forgive those guys and see what they line up like. And I know the trade period is going to be something that we'll be looking at a fair bit, even just those second string kids. You know, Haitley's said he's out the door, and if a Caldwell goes, like, there's going to be that move up the pecking order to get that midfield clock. But in saying that too, maybe he's going to have to play forward. That's going to be the issue with a bloke like him at the Giants.
Yeah,
And that's interesting you brought up the positions, Warnie, because you'd be allocating all them at the minute, and people should be tweeting at you about all that now.
Yeah, I've just got my pen out here. I'm just thinking about where he's sitting. Yep, no, but there's going to be a few Giants, I reckon, will be interesting with that, with their positioning, because old mate Taranto, he could even have forward status based on what that last position change was. I'm highly doubting it. Because it was only off by something tiny. Like, it was a 2% difference. And with the limited games that he played, a little bit of a swing in those last few rounds could have actually helped him a bit. But, yeah, I don't know. Toby Green will be a forward only, I reckon.
You heard it here first, people. Tim Taranto is a forward next year.
I love that in the preseason we were talking about who's going to end up swinging forward. Is it going to be Cornelio or is it going to be Taranto? And turns out it's both, and they're both going to suck. Like, who saw that coming?
And they both, like, did it by enough so they didn't get the forward status. Yeah. Well. Like, that's the thing they were... That's the thing that
0.3% or 0.1% or something like that. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Good on your champion data. Steve, run us through your second player, please.
Yeah, a bit short and sweet. Josh Dunkley had the ADP of 14 on the ultimate. His average dropped in the fantasy format from 111 to an adjusted 96, and in Supercoach from 116 to 104. And imagine unearthing a premium midfielder and then putting him in the ruck. So the biggest fucks on the other team are jumping all over his head. Then you lower his time on ground, presumably, because he had to have a bit of a rest, because the biggest fuckers on the other team have been jumping all over his head. Bevo, fuck you! I forgive Josh Dunkley. I don't ever forgive Bevo. He's a terrible man. And I want to see what they do in the trade and free agency period with their list, if they can address it and get someone who can play ruck forward or defence forward. It's weird they didn't just throw Josh Shackey to the Wolves and just say, just slaughter your body, because...
Bloke called Jackson Trengo's on the list, never got played.
Yeah, it's just, who knows what's going on down there at Bulldog Land, but certainly, I forgive Josh Dunkley, he's a gun.
Yep. Yeah. Ruck forward, mid status next year too, I've written that one down too, lads.
Yeah, nice, nice. It's pretty wild, like, I just can't, it's bizarre to me that they would do that.
I still find it really funny that there were ruck contests that Dunkley took and English was around the ball.
He was playing as the midfielder and not as a ruck.
What's going on there? That's bizarre.
Luke Beveridge for you to a T.
His lack of CBAs too is going to be interesting to see if he actually does, and like all serious now, to be a mid forward. Like, I think that he has been it in the past, and I don't know if they were all totally just off the wing where he was doing that, but his last few rounds, so obviously he missed a bit of a patch there, but when he came back in, 41%, 31%, 25%, 9%, 0%, 25%, whoa, 29%, 24%. So where is the rest of that? Yes, on the bench would be some of it, because he had the limited time on ground, but those numbers are so far down from where he would be, and whether it's the wing or a half-forward flank that he's starting at, that's going to be determining his position, considering his first three rounds before he was out, 77, 80 and 87%. So, like, those, wow, that's what his CBAs were. So, it's just, again, a trust factor. But when I did it, and I reckon you guys did pretty similar things here, I got a little spreadsheet and looked at my BCVs of 2020, compared that to the 2019 scores, and, like, he was right up towards the top of the biggest differentials.
Yeah, well, his last 10 matches, I think Dunkley last year was off the charts, wasn't it? Or that whole Bulldogs midfield was off the charts.
Yeah, well, the time on ground is huge. Like, he had one game under 80% in 2019, and that was his average this year. Like, just bizarre.
Yeah. And I mean, look, we sort of talked about it pre-season as well in regards to the impact that Liberatore would have as well coming back. And it, like, you wouldn't have seen it coming that they would actually favour Liberatore in the mid than Dunkley, but it happened. It absolutely happened. Liber was good.
Yeah, Liber was good.
Handcuff him for next year, that's all I'll say. Warnie, give us your second player, please.
Yeah, I wanted to look forward, and this was one right up the top of the list, and this was, it's going to be hard to sell this one to forgive, but Jack Zeeble. It was fucking atrocious what he did. And I think the biggest thing, while I almost crossed him off the list and said, I can't talk about Jack Zeeble, but he only turns 30 on the eve of the season. Like, that really surprised me. I thought he was about 34. But anyway, he's still under 30 as we speak now. So he's most likely going to be a forward only. So with all those forwards that are, all the mid forwards that are going to lose their forward status all the way through, he's going to be in the mix, and he's a name and all that sort of stuff. Now, his average of 37.6 from 8 games, so it's actually some data, is only 47 BCV. So he's never ever averaged that low in his whole career. Now, he's only gone under 85 in that as an average once since 2012, and that was an 83 average that he did. So he's been basically a mid-80s plus his whole career, or anyway, the last 7 or 8 year type career. So here's the story of his season. Basically, in round one, he hurt a knee for 22 points, came back. And then in round four, he hurt his hammy, and that was for 24. And then he returned and did a hamstring in round seven. So he had a couple of weeks off. And in round seven, did that on a donut. So duck egg there for him. So all of those figures just bring his average down anyway. But it was freaking it was putrid anyway. Like, all of his other scores, because he sat as a forward. And I think that's the key to why he's so shit and why he probably doesn't deserve any sort of forgiveness. But I will say that the thing that is about it, and it is this off-season, and we see that North Melbourne have bloody just had their garage sale and sat everyone out the front and hard rubbish day, go and collect whatever you want from them, because they are freaking a rabble of where they are. I'm holding the hope that he might not have to have a complete forward role. He might be a mid-forward again, and that's a bit of a clutch, I guess. But in those games, he did have half of his matches where he's getting 25% CBAs. So there is a little bit of hope that that can be, even if all the games were 25%, that's that little extra that we'd get in there and bump that up, take out those those injury-affected games, bumps his average up a bit as well. So there is some forgiveness there, because at the moment, that average next to him, he goes undrafted in every league. And so he's going to be somewhere... yeah, I won't say mid-draft for the forwards, but like somewhere around that. Where it depends on how many you're drafting, and every league's different with what you're looking at. But I would back him in at least around if we're thinking BCV sort of numbers, a 65 to 70 wouldn't be a reach of an average, and that's then draftable, depending on how many forwards we do end up having as we're looking across these. So I think there is some hope there. The fact that he is only turning 30, that is probably the thing that gives me that little bit of hope to give him some forgiveness, because he has been pretty durable, which probably surprises you a little bit with considering this year's injuries. He's only missed four games in the 5 years prior to this year. So, like, pretty good numbers. And that's what you want in draft as well. You want a bloke that's on the park each week. This year's data will make you say no. But fingers crossed, unless he gets delisted as well, because I don't reckon North Melbourne are completely done with that. But who knows? I think that he should benefit a little bit with all the blokes that are out of the club, and they need a big body, a leader in the midfield, and he will get maybe that 25% CBA time.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, he's got a good baseline in years past, and like we play mostly in 5-7. Won five leagues, and he'll 100% be drafted. No warning, this is probably more for you. You play, or at least the
AFL fantasy, whatever you call your draft these days.
It's actually draft three. Now. It used to be called used to be called elite, which I don't know why elite. They did that, yeah. But it's yeah, far from elite.
But it was three. You play mostly 3-4-1-3, or at least that's what you show online. And would he be drafted in that?
Probably from some of my Nuffy mates, just because he's got a name next to him. But I think he'd be a bench player that you take a little bit of a gamble on. That's where I'd say these guys. In that, we see, this is where the main reason we play 3-4-1-3 is firstly because of the time that Calvin has his ADHD doesn't help him stay focused for that long. But also, we've got a 14-team league, and so going a bigger squad size sucks for that, because we're all cooked on draft day, and then as well because what it means for what's left on free agents. Because I think part of this is, I guess it's a different discussion, but I think part of it, you want to have waivers where you can actually be using them each week and having a bit of a crack and getting someone that you want, and especially with your half casual mates, you want them to know who those players are and not be picking up some random guy that's playing his first game that week that they haven't heard of.
See, the problem that I have with the Jack Siebel pick, not a problem. Like, I think what you said is completely valid. My challenge, though, is that it's the position in draft where you're either going to look for someone who could potentially break out or him. And 100% of the time, I'm going for a speculative breakout over a Jack Siebel.
I'm glad Doss isn't here. I'm just glad Doss isn't here, because it'd be a whole podcast on his hatred for Jack Siebel.
I don't mind your Jag idea of him, because that's what it is. But sometimes it's not a bad thing being vanilla, or just getting a bloke that you know is just going to or should do this. And that's what he should do. Like, he should be on a BCV sort of thing. If he's going under 65, 70, like, that goes against everything I think about, and it's a pretty safe one. And who knows, he could get it back up to his 85 that he's done bloody for the decade prior.
Yeah, you got to get the thing about getting the lottery picks is you got to get the right one. So maybe if you're a more casual player, at least you know Jack Siebel's going to be fine, and you know you're not making the choice between James Rowbottom and you know, Jai Simpkin was quite late this year.
Super late. Yeah.
All right, Cam, roll us through your last player.
Yeah, my second one will be Elliot Yeo, and it seems to me like a little bit of a no-brainer. In the preseason, we had him pretty high in our midfielder rankings. I think he averaged about 20th, and he actually ended up with an overall ADP of 29 on the AFL fantasy platform. So there's a fair, you know, he was quite highly drafted. Again, just taking the same sort of approach as I did the last one. The 20th best midfielder was the Bont, coming in with an average of 83.7. One and 106.89 super coach. Elliot Yeo played 10 games for an average of 71.20 and 89.9 super coach, which is, you know, more in line with your M6 than would be with your M2 or 3, which is probably where you're drafting that at an ADP of 29. So a significant drop year on year from an average perspective, and disappointing coaches across the board. He's demanding forgiveness for a few reasons. The main one is resting his pubis. He suffered a strong bout of osteoitis pubis for the majority of the year and tried his best to push through it, but finally succumbed to it in round 11. He tried to make a comeback for finals, but just missed out. And as a result, he'll have plenty of time in the off-season to get it right. We saw it with Brad Crouch last year or the year before, where he suffered from the same injury and it kept him out basically all year. And he came back the year after and he scored like 107 average or something ridiculous. It's one of those long-term injuries. And it, from my understanding of it, it feels like you could come back every week. Like you're just about right to go. And then as soon as you put some load on it, you feel pretty awful and you can't get up to the speed, you can't get up to the intensity that you want to get up to. So he suffered through that all year. He's now got an entire off season to get right for next year. And I really think that he's going to come around and sort of be that, you know, if you were drafting him at an ADP of 29 next year, that's, you'd probably be happy with what he's going to output, would be my guess. The second reason is age. For me, 27 is the magical number for career year, and he'll be 27 going into next year. So I'm very happy with where he's sitting at from an age profile. And third, his form has just been good. Like, until this year, it's been really, really good. He's that sort of, you know, in and under mid that the Eagles need to support, you know, Tim Kelly. Shuey getting a little bit old. There's so much that can go right for Elliot Yeo. Averaged over 100 in 2018 and 2019 in both formats. It was like 102 point something in AFL Fantasy, 107 point something the other year. So Elliot Yeo, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't bounce back.
You lost me there when you started talking pubis stuff all the way and then the load. And I'm just thinking, was it the hub?
And getting the speeds up. And
the... Is it all about the hub? They got a little bit stuck up there. I reckon a lot of the West Coast players, and this is probably a bit more serious thing, is that the hub probably really screwed a lot of those guys and where they were at. And who knows, like, some of the recovery from some of those injuries, such as an osteoarthritis pubis, which can go on and on and on. But, yeah, I reckon that could have been an issue for some of these players and not getting the same treatment or even just, you know, the simple stuff of being at home and getting your love from your on your pubis from everyone at home.
That's right. No, I mean, if he's going for a massage on the Gold Coast to get his pubis right, it's probably a Thai variety. So I'm not going there. But, yeah, I'm pretty certain that he's probably going to be good next year.
Probably down at the Showgirls with the Richmond boys, who knows?
And Eddie McGuire, wasn't he? Oh, no, he was at Pink Flamingo, I think it was.
Have you been there, Cam?
Always been there, Warnie. When I was much younger, I would frequent the Flamingo.
I'm always cagey about Yeo. Because he's such a Mr. Fix-It.
And relies on the tackles to build that score as well.
But he's so good at
That's fine.
So,
I understand.
Yeah. I actually don't think he needs to be Mr. Fix-It anymore.
Well, he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yo's a hard one because he plays Pokemon Go. Like, this is something we found out about this from... we went to WA a couple of years ago and did a function, actually, the West Coast Eagles... Derby lunch that they had going on. They asked us to
be there,
thinking that we were like some sort of big deal to go and talk. So we got up on stage and we were interviewing Elliot Yeo and we're doing it with Luke Shuey, and Shuey sort of gave us a few things to stitch him up with and started talking about basically he plays Pokemon Go. Like, he'd go out at midnight and go to King's Park to go and catch Pikachu and stuff because he knew that that would be happening at that time. And so he's a rare cat. Like, he's not right. He was hard to hold a conversation with. So it was, you know... Interesting.
Adjust your ranks.
Why don't you think I would pick you?
Adjust your ranks.
Wow. All right. The last guy I've got on my list is the Mercurial Rory Sloan. He actually had one of his worst years to date. He averaged the 88 Supercoach and just the lowly 60 AFL Fantasy, which was down 40 from his average last year in AFL Fantasy and 15 in Supercoach. Now, we know the Crows were bad in 2020, but the winds of change are sweeping through there. We know Brad Crouch is out the door, potentially, maybe not now after the little drug strike charge, who knows, but through to free agency. So they are going to need a bigger body in that midfielder who has some polish and poise, unlike the plotter that is Crabs Matt Crouch. So we can't have him there. That face, Steve, that's an interesting look.
It's a Western Victorian you're slandering there.
He deserves it. He's a plotter.
Sloane's a plotter.
He is not. He is silky.
Silky?
Oh, so he's silky for a South Australian. He's Northern Victoria, actually. So I won't put that on him. Anyway, he did have the hand injury. The Crows were bad. They are rebuilding the Adelaide Crows. They will need a big body, and he is the captain. I know they got rid of Tex Walker a few times, but I think Rory Sloane's got one more year left in him. He is 30. He has had a few injuries over the years, but they haven't been soft tissues. He's had the hand this year. He had the face break a couple of years as well, and the foot, but they're not soft tissue, so I'm not too worried about that. And I think he'll get back to his best because we have seen Riley O'Brien really established himself as the dominant ruckman there at the Crows, giving service to the midfielders. So I'm going to forgive Rory Sloane, even though the Crows were pretty bad this year. So that's my take on the forgiveness, please.
Yep.
No love for Rory Sloane.
He's fine. There's no one else there. Why not?
Jackson Hatley.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he won't get back to... He's always averaged around 100 his career. That's fine. All right, we're going to get into the most important part of this show. The only reason Warnie's hanging around here, he wants to get out of here. We are drafting potato... What did we say it was? How we cook potatoes, basically. So we're not talking HSP or your KFC potato mash and gravy, because that's actually not potato, Cam. It's just chemical shit.
I have powdered mash on my list. It's actually in my second tier, boys. It's in my second tier.
Second tier? Jesus.
Yeah, it's so good.
I've got the number generator too, Jono.
Oh, okay. Far away.
So who do you want to go first? Who do you want to pick first?
Well, our guest has to pick first.
So Warnie can have pick... Oh, you want Warnie to have pick one?
Yeah. It's only fair.
Well, I didn't want the pressure of pick one.
Oh, he generated pick three.
All right, Warnie's pick three.
That's good. Cam. I got something good there.
Cam's got one.
Ah, jeez.
Oh, and we all know where he's going to. I've done a little bit of research on this as well.
Jono, you've got two, so I've got four.
All right, Cam.
Yeah, load me up with potato bake, boys.
Locked and loaded. I didn't even list it on mine because I knew that that would be going before I'd be considering picking.
I had the draft set up, so I drafted ahead of Cam, and I was going to take it.
Roast potato.
Good
choice.
So that's where I was going with my number one selection. That's what I would have taken with pick one because it is much better than mashed potato. However, mashed potato does need to come in there because that is a very much a staple.
I'll tell you what, Steve is getting a steal on number four. How does it slip so far?
I'll just take fries.
Yep, there we go.
I'm going to take potato cakes, scallops, whatever you want to call them.
We can't call them scallops.
Nah.
You call them that up there, wouldn't you, Cam?
Yeah, potato cakes.
Oh, cakes. Right. All right.
Well, I lived in Melbourne. I was born in Melbourne.
Yeah. But if you go to the pub or go to the after the pub and you want a potato cake, do you ask for that?
I see you getting seafood sticks anyway, Warnie. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay.
Jeez.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm going to go. This might be a little bit early and a bit of a reach for this one, but I do want a little variety in my selections. I'm going to go the potato gems or the tater tots, whichever way you want to call that.
Wow.
I thought maybe it's a third rounder, but the mashed potato, now I've got the nice oiled up tater tots.
I love that pick.
Wow, that's me. Oh.
You've thrown him. He's gone.
No. One or the other. I'll go wedges.
Mm. Oh, fuck.
Without sour cream.
Oh, that's such a bad call. That's a worst call. What do you have on a pigeon?
Chili sauce.
Without sour cream.
Yeah, because sour cream is the devil's food.
Combo. You're an animal.
Combo it.
Yeah.
Fucking hate it.
So I know fries have gone, but can I take beer battered chips?
No, that's all under the one category.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm going to take baked potato.
Good.
And then on the wrap, I'm also going to grab... Is this my last pick? I got one more.
No, you got. There'll be four rounds, so you, yeah, okay. You got two more.
I'll take the last pick. I'm going to take hash brown.
Oh, I forgot hash brown. Not that I'll
love
take
a hash.
All right. I will take potato chips.
So yep. Crisps, essentially.
Crisps.
That was my next one.
Thin.
Well, I was going to go then. Crisps were my next one, but I've got Rosti sitting next on the list.
Nice.
Oh,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So I'm going to take vodka.
Ah!
Fuck.
That was going to be my fourth round pick because I thought you blokes wouldn't even think about that. That was going to be there. Can you take it? Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Yep. Good.
And I like that Rosti pick. I'm going to take the samosa.
Is it?
Why not? It's basically potato. No? You're not going to allow it?
Isn't it pastry? Okay. You may as well take a pasty. Isn't that the same thing? But
well, yeah, but I was trying to have some variety in that. I don't know. That's pretty... Pasties have meat. Samosas don't have meat. They're just potato and peas and shit.
Peas, huh?
Well, why not?
Well,
is there more potato than peas?
Yeah. Normally, yes.
It's a line ball, Steve. You're playing with fire with that vodka pick and then fucking samosa.
I'll allow it.
All right, I'll take skins.
Oh, yeah, okay. Damn. That's good.
I'm hoping I'll get skins. What are your final pick?
Right.
Powdered mash is still there, just so you know.
There's a few interesting ones here. Actually, there's a lot on the board that I've got left here that I would love to go for, but I do like to have a balanced side. So I've got my mashed, I've got my tater tots, and the Rosti there. I better not throw out what I was looking at, but I did a bit of research of Googling and found some different recipes, and I think I've got this week sorted now for dinner here at home. I actually grew up in the northeast of Tasmania, which is world-renowned for potatoes, and my old man worked at the Simplot factory, which made all the chips for McDonald's all around the country, so he probably had some of Bob's bloody chips that he's cooked, and then in his retirement he actually goes and picks spuds or digs spuds for a farmer out on the coast as well. So there's a fair bit of and this probably explains my gut too.
Warnie, it sounds like you're stalling.
I'm gonna go did it all for the gnocchi. And I'm gonna go a bit of gnocchi. And the way you gotta cook that, you've got to crisp them up a little bit more too. I think some people just go, they're a bit too soggy. You've got to give them a little bit of a coating to fry them up a little bit to begin with. But anyway, that's where I'll go. I'll finish with that one. Fuck, there's some good ones on the board still.
If it's done right.
I'll be hitting the waiver, I reckon.
It's hard to go past. And I'm doing a potato, a good potato salad.
Cold or warm?
It's gotta be warm.
I can't have that shit.
I like
egg and the bacon. It's good. Oh yeah,
potato salad with a side of ribs, bloody brisket. Oh yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm gonna take for the last pick. This is a festival favorite. The Don't potato say. Tornado.
Oh yeah, that was a must.
How was that? The potato tornado.
Have you
really?
Not seen one or had one?
Oh mate.
Basically, spiral things, and they're spiraled. They go through like a little machine, and it spirals. It makes it nice and long, and then you deep fry the fuck out of it, and you put as much salt and shit on there as you can, and it's fucking good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not allowed to leave my house, so I don't know what this is. So. I can promise you it didn't get created since February. around
I don't leave my house anyway, I can, so it doesn't matter.
I'm glad no one went sweet potato pie because then you're definitely off the pot.
Oh, that's it. That'd be pot over. Brand over, really.
Well, I had croquettes and Hasselback still on the list. I had the potato lattice still on the list.
Remember potatoes, potatoes?
Yeah, like the waffle potatoes.
Yeah.
I thought they might have got a little bit too close to chip territory.
It was tight.
Yeah, the Hasselback ones, though, as well. That was one that I thought could have been a good last round pick. They look, I don't think I've ever had them, but when I Googled my bloody recipes, I thought, that can be Tuesday.
Rice potato with slits in it, basically.
How did no one get the potato O'Brien? It's so good.
What the fuck's that?
No, I put it in the chat. It's the potato O'Brien. Oh, my God. Look at it.
Here's your team, Cam. You got potato bake, baked potatoes, hash brown, and tornadoes.
All kinds of baked potato there.
Johnny, you've got roast, wedges, crisps, and salad. Warnie's got mash, gems, rosti, and gnocchi. I've got the fries, the potato cakes, the vodka, and the skins.
Yeah, Steve, you win.
The vodka pick, you could have not picked anything else. And as soon as you picked vodka, it was over.
I thought I was gambling in the second round, not taking it. But
yes. Damn you, Google, and not showing me that as pick one.
And Zach Dawson didn't get drafted in the potato draft.
Jeez, that would have been good.
Nah, he was in there with Fiorini, but I won.
Yeah. Oh no.
There was. Did we put a call out for questions this week or nah?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Professional.
It's the off-season, I guess. Warnie, thanks very much for joining us this week and talking all things forgiveness, please, and the roast, the potato ISO draft. We look forward to seeing Taranto as a forward in 2021. And any other tidbits, just send them on through. We like to break news like Tom Brown here. So thanks for joining us. Guys, thanks for listening. If you want to send us anything over the socials, hit us up on Facebook and Twitter as well, @TheDraftDoctors. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.